Hello and welcome to Cubicles in Christ. Kelly Johnson, certified leadership coach and founder of Be Well My Soul, is on a mission to encourage and inspire you to be spiritually authentic and thrive in life. Let's join the conversation with Kelly now.
We have such a powerful conversation today with Tamia Kelly. I know you're going to love it. We talk about how to become more confident in prayer, how to really break through challenging situations and life experiences that maybe have produced shame. Tamia shares her wonderful story and what God literally birthed in her life through what started as a difficult circumstance. But before we go over to the show, I want to make sure that you have stopped over in the Cubicles in Christ community, a private Facebook group where we highlight devotionals, we have testimonies, and we just encourage each other. Make sure you stop by and join the Cubicles in Christ community on Facebook, and I'll see you on the other side. Today, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. Breakthrough comes often on our knees, and I am delighted to have as my guest Miss Tamia Kelly. She is a mother, a licensed minister, and a mentor. She actually has a son who's a brand new freshman in college. Can't believe that. But she's also the founder and executive director of Mercy Me Outreach, an organization that educates, encourages, exposes, and empowers teen mothers. She's lived in the Dallas area for a few years, originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tamia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What a privilege and an honor. And I must say, yes, I am a proud parent of a new freshman. So I've went through all the emotions. I think I'm finally stable now. I'm okay. I can say that. But I'm really, really excited to be on the show.
Well, thank you for being here. And you know, I can totally relate as our son.
Yes.
Basically the same age, also having in college. You know, it's interesting because when I think about your background and I think about the wonderful work you're doing now through Mercy Me Outreach, it reminds me of how I personally know you, which really is just a passionate woman of God and a true prayer warrior. I know we're going to have a great discussion today about just your personal journey. And I'm really curious to know more about Mercy Me Outreach. But let's first maybe get started with spiritual authenticity, and which is one of the really core elements of this show and one of the key topics that we talk about all the time, because I just think it's so foundational to thriving in life and just having joy and contentment. But what do you think, what comes to mind for you as you think about spiritual authenticity? What does it mean?
Wow, that is a really, really great question, and definitely one I think that everyone should ask themselves. First, I would like to break it down if I can. When I think of the word spiritual, I think of God. I think of Jesus Christ. I think of the Holy Spirit. So when you think of spiritual, you have to know that your identity, the person's identity, is in Christ Jesus, in their life. Their walk is walking through the Bible and adhering to the word, not only listening, but being doers. And when I think about authentic, the word authentic brings to mind the word purpose. If you know your purpose through Jesus and you have, he has given you a purpose and you have your identity and you're walking through that thing, you can be honest with yourself. You can be true to yourself because you know who you are in Christ. So when you tie those two together, I believe for me, it means I am walking and doing what God has called me to do without explanation, without fear, without having to explain myself to anyone, because I am tied to Christ, to Jesus, to God, to Holy Spirit. So when I think of spiritual being authentic, it is absolutely hands down identifying with Jesus Christ. My actions, everything about me, I'm identifying with him and living in my true purpose. Whatever that may be, that's what I'm doing.
I love that. Now, you said one of my favorite words, which is purpose. Okay.
Yes.
Just letting you know. And in a moment, we're going to talk about maybe why you think it's challenging to sometimes be spiritually authentic. But I want to just hang for a moment on this whole purpose concept.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because I agree with you, and that's actually the subject of my book that's coming out, Emerge.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Emerge, Understanding the Path to Purpose. Talk mm-hmm. to me, though, because I feel as if sometimes when we use the P word, purpose, that some people feel a little tightening of the chest, their stomach may get a little knotted because they don't quite know what their purpose is. So what encouragement would you give maybe to those who are still trying to figure it out?
This is what I will say first. I don't want anyone to get too tight about the word purpose. It's a lot of people that don't know their purpose in Christ. And age is not a factor, right? It doesn't matter what age you are. It's a lot of people who don't know their purpose. They may know, and let me just say this, in Proverbs 19:21, familiar passage, it says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And so what we have to do is give yourself a break. I'll say that. Let's encourage me. Give yourself a break. Yeah. There's a thing called worldview, which is basically the makeup of the person. The person's yesterday has determined their today. Your family background, the experiences you had in life, the traumas, the good times, the bad times, the relationships, all of those things make up your heart. And your heart will dictate what you do, your next step, your next action. And so if your heart is not sold out to God, you will find yourself doing some things, making some plans that may be outside of the will of God. So give yourself a break, because oftentimes a lot of people don't examine their heart on a consistent, weekly, day-by-day basis. So first, don't get upset. Don't get discouraged with the word purpose. And then second, one of the things I like to share with people is that the way you would know your purpose, oftentimes I've seen this 8 times out of 10, is by understanding the pain and the things that you've gone through in life. Because oftentimes your biggest frustration is the very thing that you were put on earth to solve. Mm-hmm. So stop thinking that it has to be in four walls of a church, right? The church is the person, right? God's kingdom is everywhere. It's everywhere, in every crevice, in every cubicle, right? Yeah. In every cubicle, right? So you could be at work and your purpose will be just to encourage and set the atmosphere to make it positive, to make it bright. Right. Your purpose to be the one who sends the cards, the birthday cards, the lost cards, every card, a Hallmark card you can think of, that's something that you're passionate about, right? So I would say, don't get caught up on thinking it has to do with four walls. Get caught up on what you are passionate about and what drives you, what gets you excited, and tie that to the word of God and you'll be okay. So don't get caught up about the word purpose. Just know that it's a heart thing and it's identifying with the word of God. That's it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you. And I agree so much with really understanding who we are, our past, all of our life experiences. Mm-hmm. It is a part of the journey.
Yes.
Towards walking in our purpose. So why do you think it's sometimes challenging to be spiritually authentic?
I think it's challenging, and I'm going to say this, and this sometimes sparks debate, right?
Okay.
It's not challenging for the person who knows who they are. Mm. The challenge comes from the people who don't know who they are, right? Because I can walk in a room and I am confident. I am sure. We talk about prayer. You want to get me going, Kelly? Let's pray. I will be in the grocery store. It matters not where I'm at. If someone says, I need prayer, oh, it's on. It is on. Because I know that's what I'm here to do, right? So the challenge comes from a person who is not quite sure who they are or where they are, where they're going. That's the challenge. It's not for the person that's spiritually authentic. It is for the person who is not or is kind of wavering in what they believe and who they are. Yeah. That's where the challenge comes from. Because now I have to make sure on a very consistent basis that I operate with discernment and wisdom so that with my bold self, right, when I'm walking in the room with my bold self, I don't offend someone else. Because the very thought of me, the very presence, the very light, it challenges darkness. And so that's the challenge. It's not with the person who's spiritually authentic. It is oftentimes with the person who's not, yeah, or who has their own challenges in life. Yeah.
I love that. And I think in particular, what I sometimes see women struggle with in particular is the person that we are, we haven't quite accepted her yet.
Right.
You know, we look at someone else's gift, someone else's talent, someone else's lifestyle, someone else's, you know, dress size, shoe size, car size.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And we're still kind of like, well, surely, like, that's a good thing. Why wouldn't the Lord want me to have that too?
Mm. Right.
And so we struggle with really owning who God made us to be and just falling in love with who God fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Before
mm-hmm.
the foundation and of the world.
Absolutely. And you said something so important. Because you are spiritually authentic and know your purpose, Kelly, now you have a greater responsibility to pour into the person who does not, right? So now it looks like every woman I meet, I was walking in my workplace the other day, and I saw the heavy shoulders and the head down of a beautiful young lady. And she's, I don't know her. She's not on my team, not on my floor, but I always see her in passing. She dresses so nice. She's very fashionable, right? So I simply walked up to her and I said, "Hey, excuse me, ma'am. I just want to tell you, I love your outfit. You are always looking fabulous." Do you know, she perked up, put those shoulders back, started smiling and strutting down the little cafeteria place, right?
Yeah.
Because it is my responsibility to pour into other people so they know you are beautiful. You are fearfully, as you said, and wonderfully made. So that challenge is really the other person. But the people who are, we have the greater level of responsibility. And sometimes I don't think we do a great job at that. You know, so I've made it my job to be more aware and to speak life, because it disarms the person, right?
Right.
It disarms them. And now it allows them to receive from you.
Absolutely.
Okay. It allows them to receive, because I've been in places where a person has heard me pray and they may be on the roster to do something and they don't want to do it.
Really?
So yes, yes. Hmm. And matter of fact, I was at a women's conference one time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was like an all day event. And usually they have about 2 to 3 speakers lined up. This particular time they had 2, myself and another lady. And I happened to go first, and she did not want to get up. She did not want to get up. And what she did was, when she got up, she just kind of made excuses. Oh, they didn't tell me until last minute, so I'm not quite prepared. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, y'all should have planned this a little better. So she just kind of deflected, right? And it hurt me so. Not, I'm okay. I'm accustomed to people misunderstanding me, right? Or projecting their own insecurities and issues out on me. I'm okay with that. I have good shoulders now, right?
Yeah.
So, but the challenge is that if I could have just hugged her and let her know, listen, this is not a competition. The way God called you is the way God called you. The way you pray is the way you pray. The way you preach is the way you preach, right?
Right.
So I think we have a greater responsibility to love people, yeah, and to pour into them.
I agree. And I think that's, to me, I think that's a great example. You just sort of proved my point that in that moment, she wasn't loving the
version
of herself that God loves.
Mm-hmm.
God made each of us. We were talking earlier about how I like to be organized, or at least I try to be organized.
And you do a great job.
Oh, thank you. I'm not always, trust me. But I do like to plan. I am a planner, and that's just how I am wired. God wired me that way. He put the red wire over on this side when he was creating me, okay? And we have to just embrace that. And there are going to be people that I'm able to help because maybe they can relate to the fact that I'm a planner. And if another woman was talking to them and maybe she's not as much of a planner, maybe that won't resonate as much, right? And so someone said this, we are a body and we need fingernails, we need arms, we need legs. We can't all be the feet. We can't.
Right.
We can't all be the shoulders or the back. We all need to operate in who God made us to be. And that doesn't mean that we don't continue to grow. I'm not advocating that we stay stagnant and, well, this is the way I've always been. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just saying that there are qualities and characteristics that God has allowed to be formed in each of us, and we need to stop being critical of them or minimizing them and learn to walk boldly in them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agree. 100%.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to learn more about Mercy Me Outreach. How did your organization come into being? What do you do through your organization? Tell us that story.
Oh, man. So Mercy Me Outreach, man, what do I say? It's definitely my baby. Mercy Me Outreach is my baby, hands down. And it was birthed out of me. it's a program that, as you stated previously, it's a program for teen moms. And we educate, encourage, expose, and empower. And basically, I had my son when I was 15. I had him in high school. And all throughout that period, that season of my life, it was hell, if I can say that on your podcast. It was hell, right? It was filled with disappointment, not only from myself, but from the world, from family. It was filled with rejection. It was filled with anger. It was filled with people ignoring me, not taking me serious. It was just pure hell. And so I had to fight to finish high school. So instead of finishing high school in 4 years, I finished it in 3 because the world said I was going to drop out, right? Mm. So I also went to community college. I went to a vocational school as well, got a trade, finished my associate's degree. So I was fighting against the world in every aspect of my life during that season of my life, while trying to protect my child, because I didn't know what I was doing at 15. Who knows what they were doing at 15? You're still a child yourself. So I like to say, my son and I, we raised each other. That's the honest truth. We raised each other. And so during that season of my life, it was such a dark place. I was so angry and so bitter. I mean, like, you couldn't talk to me without me looking at you crazy or saying something offensive or becoming belligerent about something. I mean, and it was filled with shame. I remember one time when I finally got into the church, going to a church, joined a local church, and they had a purity meeting for young girls. And I went to the meeting, right? Yes, I have this child, but I went to the meeting and they were talking about sex and just different things. And I made a comment and I thought that they wanted someone who had experienced this to make a comment to create a deterrent for these other young ladies, but they didn't want me to talk. They didn't even want me there. So I'm thinking, I am in the church and being rejected. How does this happen? Right. And so well into my 20s, I dealt with a lot of shame, a lot of depression. For a long time, I didn't want anyone to know my age. I didn't want to tell anybody, because immediately when they see my son and they see me, they say, oh my gosh, you're too young to have a child. I would say, yes, I am. Right? Wow. Oh. They would start calculating in their hands like, oh. And that's what you would get. That's the reaction.
Wow.
And I hated that reaction. Yeah. It made me feel like crap. It made me feel terrible. So I I had to deal with that in life. And so it wasn't until I met a young lady that when I started working for a company in Oklahoma, and she came up to me. I say young lady, she was older at the time. She came up to me, she was my boss. She said, Tamia, I didn't do anything to you. Why are you upset with me?
Wow.
Why are you so angry? And I was like, what? What? What are you talking about? Right? And it took me like 2 weeks to really receive that. Cause I'm thinking, what is she talking about? I don't have a problem with her. Right. And so that's my reaction. Right. And then I went to church one day and a lady said something to me and I went off on it. She said, you know, Sister Tamia, you're mean. I said, no, I'm not. So I went to a friend girl of mine and I said, do you think I'm mean? She said, girl, yeah, you mean. I said, what? No one ever told me this. Why wouldn't you guys tell me this? She's like, well, we've always known that. We love you the way you are. I'm thinking, no, tell me. Don't. What? Don't have me walking around, right? So anyway, make a long story short, when I finally got still and accepted my calling to the ministry, gosh, I'm about to choke up and cry. The Lord said, okay, I want to use you, but you have to do the work. You have to do the work. Go to Galatians and look at these fruits of the Spirit and identify one that's in you right now. And Kelly, at that time, I couldn't. Ooh. Peace, joy, long time. I couldn't see one, right? Mm-hmm. I could not see one. So your original question of spiritual being authentic, what does that look like? How does that challenge? And I said, that's identifying, right, with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, with the Bible. That's identifying. At the time, I didn't identify with him.
Wow.
Did not. There was no evidence of the fruits of the Spirit in me at the time. And so God had to do the work. And so when I finally got over the shame, hey, my God, when I finally got over condemning myself and feeling bad about myself, right? When I finally got to a place of where I can be bold and flat-footed and tell you, yes, I had my son at 15. Yes, I did. Yes. Without making excuses, without trying to justify, without trying to tell you why, I just say it. Yep, I had him when I was 15. God is good. He's a keeper. And I leave it at that. Now I'm free, Kelly. And so when God was able to get me to a place of freedom, he said, now, I want you to share. I said, no, you don't. It's one thing for someone to walk up to me and ask me, right?
Right.
But to put my business on display? Oh, no. I wasn't ready for that. Oh, I wasn't ready for that. So literally, when I relocated to Texas in 2014, I started planning the vision, writing it down. And I couldn't do it. So I had this book, plan it out, everything, the name, everything he wanted me to do. I had it, didn't do anything with it. It was kind of dusty. I got laid off my job in August of 2017. And the Lord said, are you listening to me now?
Wow.
I said, well, I have nothing but time on my hands. And do you know, in that moment, I was able to get my articles of incorporation in Oklahoma. I was able to complete a business plan. I was able to do so many different things, come up with the name, just do so many different things within that time span because he had my undivided attention. So mercy me is because God gave me mercy. And it is now my purpose to give that mercy to the same young lady. Everything that I did not get through man, God had to give it to me. I am now commissioned, right, challenged to give it to young women, to let them know this is not the end. There are people who love you unconditionally, who are not ashamed of you. This is not a bad thing. So through education, completing their high school diplomas, through empowerment, which is life skills, we have to do a whole lot of things. I had a challenge. I didn't know about credit. I didn't know about writing checks. I didn't know anything, Kelly. I didn't know anything. So a lot of my life as it is now and everything that's in Mercy Me Outreach is from trial and error and from God saying, no, you can't overcome this. You can do this. You need to train them up about banks. writing checks, paying bills, time management, you know, interviews, careers, getting an education. You're not limited to a community college. If you want to go to community college, you can, but there are so many colleges who embrace single moms, right? You're not limited to that. And then most important, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let anybody ever shame you into thinking that you have this stain that will never go away. It goes away. So that's what mercy means. God gave me mercy. And so I give my mercy back. And one of the scriptures that I lay my hat on a lot of the times is the Beatitudes in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be mourned. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh. And so that's where you get mercy in the outreach. God gave me mercy. He gave me mercy. Mm-hmm. He poured into me. So there's nothing, when I tell you there's nothing anybody could ever say about me having a child in high school, there is absolutely nothing. When I tell you God cleaned me up, and I'm so joyful now, I'm so full of love now. Oh my goodness. I can point out some fruits now, Kelly.
Yay.
Yay, right? Not all of them now. Don't get too excited. But I have some fruits on my tree. I got a little blossom on my tree.
That's right. Hey, that's all we need, you know.
Right.
I probably just have some seeds. I don't even have full fruit. Hey. I love it. And thank you for sharing how God birthed, literally, Mercy Me Out.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yes, totally. But it reminds me, I love how God always brings things full circle, because we started off talking about being spiritually authentic.
And yeah,
you shared sort of a definition of what the worldview is, right? That it's, mm-hmm. it's the totality, the sum of who we are, all of our life experiences. And I find it interesting because sometimes, especially even in our pursuit of purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we want to leave and cut out parts of our lives.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Like, okay, Lord, yes, I'll do what you want me to do, but don't make me talk about bring into the fold that area.
Right.
Like, can't we do this without that? Like, and I just love it how he uses it all. God does not spare any experience. He doesn't leave it out. He uses all the parts. You know, if you ever...
All of them.
You order furniture online and they deliver. You got this big old box. And then by the time you put it together, it's like five parts are still left out. You know, and it's like, you're thinking, I assembled it. I made it, right? And then you look and you're like, oh, I forgot a few things. God doesn't forget any piece of us.
At all.
No. And I love that. I'm so thankful for that.
Mm. I'm very thankful. And I think when you think about how to balance that, you know, that was a saying in the church I used to go to back home. Don't be so heavenly bound, you know, earthly good. Blah, blah, you know. So it's one of the things with me is that the challenge comes from the person who's not spiritual. Because me, I'm not ashamed. I love the Lord. I love the Lord in my cubicle. I love the Lord, right? So I will read my Bible in my cubicle. Don't come over here now. You know, I'm not going to go and lay hands on you. However, you come over here, you're going to get some of this Jesus, okay? So it's one of them things where the people who are not comfortable in that, they're challenged by, oh, it's me. You know HR. I used to be in HR. I know my limits. Don't worry about it. I know how to balance this. I'm good, right? I could tell you how to balance it if you want me to, right?
Right.
So it's one of them things where the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. The way we defeat the enemy is by telling it go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it. Because when you tell it, he can't hold it over your head in the dark. Right. He can't say, oh, Kelly, remember you did that? Oh, I do. And they all know. Right. And if they want to know again, they want to know the details, they can come ask me. Right? That's where you get the freedom. I'm not saying every person you meet, I don't tell every person I meet, oh, I had my son. No. But when I feel led by the Spirit to share, when I feel led by the Spirit to share something with someone who is struggling, I'm obedient to that. Before I was not, right? Because I was the fearful person. Oh, Lord, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want them to say anything. But when I tell you, Kelly, and the Lord is my witness, I worked for this one company for 3 years before I was laid off. And do you know people who didn't even know me, they would go to people who didn't know me and they would say, oh, Tamia can pray for you. Mm-hmm. I would go in little rooms. They call them, I forget what they call those little rooms, but you can go into little rooms and I think they call them think tanks or something. Mm-hmm. And we would go in rooms and we would pray. Mm-hmm. And I don't pray quiet. I don't have that gift of quiet prayer. I don't have that gift of the quiet prayer. Some people do. I don't have it, okay? So we would pray. Listen, we would pray. And I mean, I'm praying because the heavens is getting ready to open and your situation is going to change. Yeah. And when I would come out, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, they're going to fire me. Oh, my God, they're going to fire me. Never once did anybody ever say anything about me praying. Never. Hmm. The Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So when you are in alignment with God, when you are spiritually authentic, God will cover you. He will keep you. He will give you the lane to be able to do what he's called you to do.
Absolutely.
So it all works together.
Yes, it does. It does. I want to talk now, let you know you hit on my other favorite P word, prayer. how do people maybe become more comfortable with prayer? Because you and I've talked about this a lot and we've served mm-hmm. In a prayer capacity. So, mm-hmm. and some people are just, they're first of all, afraid to pray in public. So we may not even get to that, but if there's discomfort with prayer in public, there's probably some discomfort and uncertainty in your private prayer life too.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become so bold in your prayer? You know, what encouragement or guidance would you give those who just feel like they're not good, quote unquote, at praying?
You know, one of the greatest encouragements I believe I can give that will be most profitable and something you can readily apply like today is read your word, read your Bible. Take your eyes off of man. Take your eyes off of the pastor. Take your eyes off of the leaders, whoever. Get in your word. Get in your Bible. Read Psalms. Read Proverbs, right? Read John. Get encouraged. Get inspired. Get something to say. And what I mean by that is God is faithful to his word. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the timidity and the fear of prayer comes because I don't know what to say.
Right.
I don't know how to say it. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? Just if you read your word, yes, just read your word. Pick a psalm. Just pick a psalm. Just one psalm. I mean, just pick a psalm. And say, Lord, I don't really know the words to say, but what I do know is that your word is true. The Bible says in Genesis 22:16, it says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son. He was talking to Abraham at the time, but the justice is the Lord swears by himself. He is not a man that he should lie. So what that means is his word, it's his word. It'll go out and perform that which you were sent to do. So you could literally be praying and say, Lord, I pray Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Oh my God, that'll break out in a praise. And before you know it, you've prayed, you've worshiped, and everything is good. And the peace of God has consumed your heart. So if I can encourage anybody, it's just get your Bible. Don't look to man. Don't think about what to say. Just get your Bible and pray a psalm. Pray, sing it. Just get in a quiet space and say, Lord, help me. I need you to help me to pray better. Mm-hmm. And he'll do it. He will do it. He is faithful. And before you know it, if someone does need prayer or someone does call you or call on you to pray, you will say, you know what, hold on, let me get my phone. Because, you know, folks don't carry Bibles no more, except for me, clearly. So get your phone, and you'll be able to get your psalm, and you can just read your psalm. No one can dispute the word of God. No one. Right. As a matter of fact, that's the very thing that brings life. Because the word of God is the living word of God. So if I can give any encouragement, where I got my boldness from, it's from studying that word. Because I know God swears by himself. So when I pray, I'm praying that word because I know it's got to happen.
Absolutely. It's interesting because I learned how to pray in a very similar fashion. I was going to this church, and quite frankly, there were other things about the church that were a little suspect, but this particular pastor really encouraged us to read the Psalms out loud daily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know the word says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so when we pray or when we read scripture out loud, A, it is a form of prayer, first of all, but B, we're automatically increasing our faith because we're hearing the word of God. And personally, I'm all about two for ones. You know,
right?
You know, like I'm not a busy person. Okay, so if I can accomplish, you know me,
I love it.
It's all about efficiency.
I love it.
Like, if I can pray and encourage myself because I'm hearing the word of God and it's true, and it also gives me something later that I can anchor to, that I can get a handle on. So as we get more comfortable reading scripture out loud as a form of prayer, sometimes, and especially in the beginning, this is just a very quick tip I'll share. So if I'm trying to think of a psalm or a verse, but like, let's say the word of God says something like, you made me to lie down in green pastures. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll just say, Lord, you made me to lie down in green pastures. Lord, you made my family lie down in green pastures. And just insert yourself into those prepositions and those nouns. And so it does become your prayer to the Lord, and he is hearing his words come from your lips. And over time, those words, that scripture gets written into your spirit, into your soul, and you're able to then recall them by the Holy Spirit without even having to read them. So that was really the foundational experience for me for learning how to pray.
That's right. And that's the number one encouragement. I agree with you. And another thing you said, and I think it's important to just say it one more time, is that when you read the word and it's in you and you read it out loud and you meditate on it, in those moments of hard times, you could be at work, you can be driving, maybe you don't have access to your phone or your Bible.
Right.
That word that's in you, it's going to come out. It'll pop up in your head to give you that assurance, to give you that confidence. Listen, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm your shepherd. You shall not want. And you're like, where did that come from? It's in you. It's in you. And what's in you has to come out. And that's your anchor, as you said, Kelly. That's your anchor. And as you begin to read this word, the more you read it, the more you will identify with Christ, the more you will hear his voice. His voice is his word. His voice is his word. And so then he can lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. And you have no challenge identifying your purpose in him. Mm-hmm. Because you would have walked with him. You would have read his word, and it's in you.
Yes, that's so good.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to pray in a moment. But before we get ready to close out, I know leaving a spiritual legacy is super important to you. What seeds of hope do you hope to plant in others?
You know what? If I, the legacy I want to leave is a prayer legacy. Okay. And I want everyone to know if they never hear me preach, if they never hear me teach, encourage, be a mentor to them, one thing I want them to know is, oh, Tamia can get a prayer through. She can pray. She knows the Lord. And the reason why that's so important to me, Kelly, is because if you know how to pray, that means you know you have a relationship with God. We all know how to pray. Let me say, if you're confident in your prayer, then everything else will follow suit. Because there's been times where I didn't have the money, didn't have the resources, but when I go into my prayer closet, go into my room, shut my phone off, shut my door, worship, everything is all right then when I get up from prayer, literally. And I just believe in it. I've seen so many things change. So if anyone says anything about Tamia, they'll say, oh, that woman know how to pray. Oh, that woman knows prayer. And I hope that will encourage them. Well, if she can do it, let me just go see what this prayer thing is about. Mm-hmm. I just want to provoke a challenge in somebody. Let me just see what this prayer thing is about. Let me try it. If I can just get one or two people to go try prayer, I've done my job, Kelly.
Yeah, I love mm-hmm. it. I love it. Well, mm-hmm. I'm sure others would love to know more about Mercy Me Outreach. How can they find out more information? What's the best way for them to maybe even be involved or a supporter?
So they can reach me at tkelly@mercymeoutreach.org. tkelly@mercymeoutreach.org. We are in the process of getting Instagram up. I'm not tech savvy, okay? So I'm working with someone else who's helping me get that up and running. So we will be up and running with the social media part of it by October. But currently right now, it's more word of mouth currently right now in terms of mentorship and help. And again, that's tkelly@mercymeoutreach.org.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes to your email address. And
thank you.
Could be a great opportunity for others to support the kingdom. And, you know, there's so many women who have similar stories and they just mm-hmm. don't even know how to give back. They want to, but they don't know how. So I love that, you know, it's an opportunity for others to come alongside and maybe join the support with what you're doing too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I think we probably came to our personal favorite parts of the show, and that is just a closing prayer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you bless us with a final prayer?
Oh, I'll be honored, Miss Kelly, and I actually will pray the Psalms 23, the one that you started, because I think it encompasses everything. Amen.
Amen.
Let us just pray. Father, we first want to say thank you. Thank you for this outlet, Lord God, to share the good news, to share encouragement, oh God. We want to also pray for Kelly, oh God. Continue to give her the strength. Continue to open doors for her, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you increase her listenership, oh God. We pray, God, that you continue to send her divine connections, the resources, the provision to carry on and see what the end is going to be. God, we also pray, God, for the other people that will be joining, that will be conversing, to let them know this is all about kingdom business, Lord God. First of all, we pray, Lord God, for purpose. We pray right now that you remove the scales from our eyes and the wax from our ears, that we all may hear and see what thus said the Lord, that we all may align our purpose with you, Lord God. Renew in us a right spirit. Create in us a clean heart, oh God. Let us see what you see, hear what you hear, and do what you do, oh God. And if there's anyone out there struggling because of a financial need, if there's anyone out there struggling with fear or anything that's preventing them from doing their purpose, God, Holy Spirit, you do what you do and you lead them in truth. And the truth is, God, that you did not give us the spirit of truth, hallelujah, but you gave us the spirit of truth, power, and of a sound mind. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that all of your children that have the Holy Ghost in them, that they can cry out, Abba, Father, God, that they, when they cry out to you, oh God, that you will cover them, that you will give them strength, Holy Spirit, that you will have increase in them as we decrease, oh God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the Lord be our shepherd today. God, that we shall not want. We pray, God, that you make us lie down in green pastures. Give us that peace, oh God. Give us that protection. Give us that comfort. Lead us beside the still waters. Restore our soul. Restore us back to a place in you. Give us our joy back. Give us our peace back, oh God. Lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, the right way of doing things. God, we lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for it's just a shadow, and your light shines so much brighter, God. For you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us, before the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In the mighty name of Jesus, for this is the promise of God. So God, we thank you today. We thank you for the listening. We pray the hearts and minds are open to receive the encouragement to run on and see what the end is going to be. And most importantly, we pray, God, that you give them a heart of flesh so they can hunger and thirst after you and their purpose and identity in you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Tamia.
Thank you. Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. All right, everyone, until next time, we will see you back here on the first and third Monday of every single month. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Thank you for joining this episode of Cubicles in Christ. Be sure to visit bewellmysoul.com for fresh biblical inspiration and practical ideas to thrive in life. May you grow in peace, love, and soul prosperity.